Before we get into this episode, I want to let you know that tickets to The One, which is our two-day in-person leadership experience, are now available at early bird pricing. So if you're in Australia or New Zealand, then you're absolutely going to want to check this out. The One is designed to expand leadership capacity with big shifts reported from participants in confidence, communication, directiveness, solutions thinking, decision making, and even conflict resolution. You can check out the case studies over on the website of people who have already done this event and the results they experienced across multiple areas of their lives months later.
It has just been such a catalyst for change.
That's been more impactful, and I've had more revelations and light bulb moments go off than anything that I've ever looked at.
I feel like my perspective has completely shifted. It's been life-changing for me.
Do yourself a favor and get this locked in for yourself before prices go up. Grab your tickets to one of the events in either Australia or New Zealand over at theoneliveevent.com. It's also linked below. Welcome to Lead a New Future. My name's Kate Ruby Aroha, and I'm a senior leadership trainer. Having run leadership events in multiple countries for a very long time, over 15 years, and working with award-winning leadership teams, this podcast is where I share my thoughts, lessons, and insights on leadership in action. So grab a cuppa and let's dive into this conversation. Kia ora everyone, welcome back to the podcast. So in this conversation, I want to talk about a dynamic that I'm seeing again and again and again in so many different ways that it shows up. On the surface, it looks like one thing, but the impact under the surface is huge. It's almost like unquantifiable. The impact under the surface is the thing that people feel so frequently in their lives as such a point of frustration. And this is, I guess, the challenging, slippery part of this whole dynamic, is that the impact that people are feeling is not connected to the behavior that they're doing. So the impact that they're feeling is not connected to the behavior that they're doing. And it means that this is a pattern that stays in place for years and decades. And it kind of gets sort of locked into place like a bit of a vicious cycle. So what I want to do in this conversation is really talk about this and highlight it, put a big spotlight on it so that the link between the behavior and the impact is visibly seen. I think some of these things kind of go playing out when we can't actually see what's causing them. So that's what I want to do in this conversation. Now, to start off with, I'm going to ask a question. Now, this question, as you think about it, answer it honestly for yourself. You might think, surely I'm not doing that. But keep this question in the back of your mind throughout this conversation and then ask yourself again at the end. Here's a question. Let's start with a question. Are you training people to underperform? Now, just keep that question in your mind throughout this conversation. Am I training people to underperform? So here's the dynamic that I see. Too often, too frequently, for whatever reason, we or so many people overfunction for others. And this might be in a personal setting. It might also be in a professional setting. So let's give some examples. It might be like a client that I worked with, I remember a long time ago, when she first came into the coaching session, she was really proud of the fact that she was this sort of hyper functioner, high performer, everyone in her team. So she had a business and she had, I think, about 12 staff underneath her, but man, did they rely on her. And she really got this kind of sense of satisfaction of when people needed something that she could fix it for them. And you could see how just so much of her sort of sense of personal work satisfaction was actually wound up in solving people's problems for them. Like, she really wore it like a badge of honor. And after she was talking for a little bit, I was like, that is not a badge of honor. That is the opposite of a badge of honor. You're the bottleneck in your business. Your company has got a stranglehold on it because of your behavior at this level. So anyway, over some time of working together, we unwound that old behavior, unwound that pattern, and instead put systems in place. She had to like really get into a new role within her business and see herself. Part of it was identity thing. She had to see herself at a different level. Then it was actually retraining her team because they had basically been trained to go to her for everything. And there was a shit ton of underperformance within her team. right? So there was underperformance around her that needed retraining. There was a lack of systems that needed to be established. I would say the fallout of years of her behavior was pretty immense and required like a major renovation. There was some like DIY renovation that had to be cleaned up. But, you know, cleaned it up and the results were mammoth. But this is like a really insidious behavior, can you see? So I just gave an example of in a workplace, but equally this can happen in personal lives, you know, between a couple. One person might be have a bigger bandwidth, and so they're used to stepping in and over functioning for the other person. So over time, what happens in that relationship is that they do more and more and more, they take over more and more and more, and so the other person does less and less and less. And what happens over time is that basically these two people get locked into certain roles, right? Person one, their role is that they do XYZ and FQY and MNOP, right? It's not just XYZ, it's all of the freaking alphabet. And then the other person does maybe T. And so this becomes a role that they both get locked into. But also over time, not only are they dealing with roles, they're dealing with the fact that the other person, person B, has less now skill set than person A, because the way in which person A has had to step up, has had to figure things out, has shouldered a lot more of the responsibility, they've put themselves into a place where essentially they have a crap ton more skill set than the other person. And so these roles become almost like, of course it needs to be like this because I am the person who has all of these skills and this other person doesn't know how to do it. But yeah, the other person wasn't given the opportunity. Now I use the word given cautiously because, you know, it's a dynamic, but the other person, let's just use the word given, wasn't given the opportunity to step up and learn these things. So let's go back to that question. Are you training people to underperform? The more you step up and step in an area and save the day repeatedly with this person or with these people, then what you train them to do is that they don't have to step up. And over time, they get used to not stepping up. So that ability within them, within that area, starts to diminish. Their skill set also does not get developed. They don't grow in that area. You know, the skills and abilities come from putting ourselves in positions where we're required to learn and grow. But if there's no requirement because someone else is just going to keep doing it, then there's no requirement to put yourself in the game and develop those skill sets and develop new perspectives and to grow and shoulder what that growth journey looks like. It is an incredibly, I'm going to say, an unhealthy dynamic to constantly be stepping in and taking over for a person who could otherwise do it themselves. And when I say could otherwise do it themselves, let's define what that actually means. They may not yet have the abilities and skills, but neither did you when you first started. And if you keep doing these things for them, then they won't get the opportunity to learn. So, you know, this stepping in and over functioning is the thing that trains people to under function or sets up a dynamic that over time they do under function. So, you know, as we're talking about this, you might be looking at areas that this perhaps is in play. So before we look at what's actually possible beyond this dynamic, what I first of all want to look at is the impact, because the impact is something that so quietly and gradually builds up over time. It grows without us realizing it. And then all of a sudden we're inside of overwhelm, frustration, being sort of overstretched in certain areas. It's built up over time, so we don't connect it to the original behavior, which is this constant overcompensating or overfunctioning for others. So let's talk about the impact so we can put a spotlight on it, so we can see it for what it is. So a lot of the times when I'm working with people, they are feeling overstretched. Their internal bandwidth is just very full, very chewed up. When we take an honest inventory of what's going on, we can see areas of which they're overcompensating for others. And so this has a major impact. Now, it might be that they're doing some big things to overcompensate, But equally, it may be that they're just doing a whole lot of small things. Now, one of a slippery thought, so I call them slippery thoughts, thoughts that feel very innocent, kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing, but they slip under the surface because they're so freaking innocent looking, but they have quite a big impact. So a slippery thought can be, in this context, is, oh, look, it's only small. Maybe, you know, it's just faster to do myself. I'll just get it done. Slippery mother freaking thought, and here's why. Because every time you say to yourself, oh look, I'll just do it because it's small, you know, faster for me to get it done, then that is not one thought that you're having in isolation. That is a thought that you go to in these situations where you think it's faster and more efficient to just do it myself, which means that you're always doing it yourself, which means that no one else ever learns how to take it over, which means that people always relate to you as a person that will always do it, which means you guys become locked in these roles, which means this is a vicious cycle which continues to play out and compound further and further over time. So these are the impacts. Another impact is that when we're constantly doing things for others again and again and again, our workload gets bigger, our bandwidth gets smaller. What happens is that over time, there's a background resentment that begins to build. Now, whether this is in professional relationships or personal, that background resentment plays havoc in the relationship. Now, another level of impact is that for however long you're overcompensating for someone, they don't actually get the opportunity to step in and grow and develop in that area themselves. So they're not developing a skill set in an area. They're not expanding their capacity in an area. So what happens over time is that they start diminishing over time. Their skills and their capacity starts diminishing, which then, you know, if you think about it, kind of further reinforces this mentality of, oh, I have to step in because they can't. Well, they actually could. They're an adult, you know, in most situations they could. Obviously, things are context dependent, but, you know, mostly they could, but they don't and they haven't. And now they can't. And I say can't with quotation marks, can't purely because they haven't yet developed the skill set. So this really is a vicious cycle. So there's two other podcast episodes that I want to direct you to go and listen to after this episode here. So the ones to listen to are episode 20 and episode 15. 20 and 15. So episode 20 is called Loving Someone While Not Getting Tangled in Their Struggle. So I recorded this a few years ago where I had come through this big season of my husband, Henare, was depressed. So he had had depression during the season of our relationship. We've been together for like 19 years now. And the big lesson for me during that period was how to go hands off his struggle that he was dealing with and not sort of jump in and kind of getting amongst it and try to fix it for him, and which is such the most common thing that I see people doing. And I understand why we want to do that with the people that we love. However, that wouldn't have been the thing that would have genuinely helped him in the bigger picture. And it's really, you know, comes down to this whole conversation here we're having about this sort of dynamic, is that we think that we're helping by jumping in and solving things for people. We think we're helping by jumping in and fixing and providing solutions. But are we really helping when what we're doing is taking away their growth? And this is just as relevant in a personal situation like what is described in episode 20. I highly recommend you go and listen to it. Just as relevant there as it is in a professional context. Are you helping your team members when you keep jumping in and doing it for them? Or is it more helpful to go hands off? And is there another way in which you could provide some assistance as needed, but in a way that actually elevates leadership? So we're starting to now sort of head into that conversation, which is what I really like, which is about how do we own our own leadership, and in doing so, have other people in our environment, whether it's personal or professional, step into their leadership, which might be something that even takes a bit of overtime. So episode 20, Loving Someone While Not Getting Tangled in Their Struggle. I won't recap it here. Just go and listen to it. It's a really good conversation, and I I've heard from many, 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 many people over the years of how much that's helped people. The other one is episode 15, and it's Stop Being Available to Other People's Urgencies. So I think that could also be a good conversation to listen to. So it's episode 20 and episode 15. All right, There's a few more things I want to say about this whole topic here. Now, the word overcompensating, let's look at what that means. I love going to the dictionary to look at the meanings of words. God, good Lord, what a nerd. So overcompensating is the taking of excessive measures in attempting to correct or make amends for an error, weakness, or problem. Oof. If we think about it then, when we're overcompensating for other people, what we're actually unconsciously doing is seeing that there's a weakness or a problem over there with them. From what I am going to sort of propose here is a bit of the root cause of why we jump in to fix. Because if we're viewing, if we're standing in a place and looking through a lens of there's a weakness over there, there's a problem over there, then that in itself will trigger us into action, right? Especially if we see ourselves as Mr. Fix-It or Mrs. Fix-It. So I guess that's the second thing, right? Is how do we see ourselves and then how do we see them? Which is the point of this piece of the conversation. So this is something to really get a hold of in ourselves. If we are seeing people as weak, if we're seeing the things that they are doing as problems to be fixed or solved, then this is where this dynamic can come from. So, you know, in episode 20, highly recommend going listening to it, loving someone while not getting tangled in their struggle. One of the key factors for me there was I had to really get a hold of myself, get a handle of myself so that I wasn't seeing the depression and the experience that he was going through as a weakness or a problem. Because if it occurred to me as a problem, then it would occur to me as something that probably needed fixing because problems need solving. But what if it wasn't? What if it was just a process that he was going through on his journey? Again, go listen to the episode for more. But the point here is that if we're looking at someone and seeing that they're weak, seeing that they're insufficient, seeing that they are not able to do something, then that in itself is starting to seal the fate of the direction of where this dynamic is going to go. What if instead we started to look at people very intentionally around us as very able, as very capable, as very strong and able and with the potential to grow in their capacity and grow in their leadership? Woo! Now we've got a whole different access point. Can you feel it? You know, have a think about the people in your life that maybe, if we go back to that question right at the start where we asked ourselves, are you training people to underperform? Well, in whatever area that you're like, maybe I am, personal life or professional life, whatever, put them in your mind right now. Are you potentially, now that we've got them in your mind, seeing them as perhaps a little bit deficient, a little bit weak, not that capable, not able to do X, Y, Z in a certain area? Okay, may not be like across the board in their lives, but maybe in a certain area. What if you rearranged how you were seeing them? What if instead you were seeing them as capable, as able, as, you know, like leadership waiting to happen? Whoop, whoop. Man, I love that. What if you saw them as leadership waiting to happen? And so would you then swoop in and save and fix? No. It's almost like the trigger point kind of disappears. What if you saw them as leadership waiting to happen and you saw yourself not as someone who was a savior or not as someone who jumps in and fixes people's problems for them? What if you saw that those behaviors of saving and fixing and jumping in and overcompensating, what if you saw them as low performing behaviors that become bottlenecks for whatever's going on? It might be a bottleneck in the relationship, might be a bottleneck in the business, might be a bottleneck in the team. What if you saw those behaviors as low performing behaviors that created bottlenecks? So instead of wearing them like a badge of honor or being unintentionally sucked away by the alluring slippery thinking of things like, oh, but it's only 5 minutes, I can just do this quickly or blah, blah, blah. And instead of that, you actually like it throw up some alarm bells on the inside. You go to over fix things for people and step in when they could do it themselves, and little alarm bells go off on the inside. And you have the awareness to choose a new way forward, choose a different response. So instead of seeing yourself as the savior, the fixer, the problem solver, the freaking solution vending machine for everyone around you, you saw yourself, and I'm kind of like, as I'm saying this, sort of taking a breath, putting my shoulders back, standing with my head taller and my chin up. You saw yourself as a leader, and you owned what it meant to be a leader, and a leader in that environment, and a leader in that context. And one of the things about leaders is that leaders create environments where leadership thrives around them. So you're, you know, just kind of feel into the energy of that in your body. You're being a leader here. And in doing so, you're looking at the people around you as capable, as in themselves, leadership waiting to happen. Oh, totally different environment context, right? So what happens then is there's a new access point that opens up. So many new doorways can open up with new ways forward and how to navigate that. Because also it's not just like about pulling the plug and going, nah, do it yourself. I mean, that's not leadership. Leadership is really owning things at various levels, right? So a piece of it would actually be owning the fact that if you've been doing this behavior till now that set up this environment and these expectations and these roles and this impact is, you know, inside of yourself, you're really owning that. So you're not just pointing the finger and going, oh, it's all up to you. And now it's all up to you to figure out the solution. You're bringing that leadership to the situation, which with leadership comes a level of discernment, comes a level of being able to have, I guess, situational awareness of what's needed in each situation to be able to support the highest good or the highest outcome, right? So these are, by the way, I'm just kind of like riffing on some leadership things. These are all leadership capacity things. I just talked about situational awareness, discernment, the ability to elevate leadership around you. All of these things are leadership capacity pieces, which, by the way, is exactly what we're focusing on at The One. So if you don't know, The One is our two-day in-person leadership experience. And so we've got upcoming events in multiple countries. So you can always check out the events that are coming up at theoneliveevent.com is also linked below. But right now, at time of recording this episode, is that we've got upcoming events across Australia and New Zealand. So if you're in Australia or New Zealand and you haven't yet got your ticket to The One, seriously do yourself a favor and lock it in. Go to the website, find the location that's closest to you and get it locked in. This is an experience that will open up your leadership capacity on multiple levels. Now, if you go to the website, theoneliveevent.com, and you read the stories there, the case studies, you'll hear a lot of people saying that they feeling like their well-being has improved, they've got more space, they've got more time, etc. But do you want to know the funny thing is? We actually don't deal with time management or well-being type specifics at the event. These are results, natural results of an expanded leadership capacity. Just like at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about when this dynamic is in play, the impact is insurmountable. The impact of people feeling overstretched and overburdened and they don't have any bandwidth left and they feel very tired. So that's a natural impact of the lack of leadership. Whereas when we expand our leadership in these areas, the natural impact and flow on of that is feeling more freed up. For example, Sarah Orr says, I'm no longer overworking and more efficient with that time and actually getting better results. So interestingly, she's working less, but getting better results. She's a regional manager. And she said, before the event, I felt like I was swimming in mud all the time and was burnt out. Now, look, that's just one example of so many of people who have done The One with us, done the 2 days, had significant shifts, gone back into their life and experienced and benefited the results of those shifts across multiple domains. Go check out the website. If you haven't got the tickets, your tickets, do it. You can thank yourself later. This podcast, this conversation is a real invite to look at areas of your life where perhaps in the past you just thought you were being helpful, but this is an invitation to really ask yourself a bit more honestly, is what I'm doing creating unintended impact? Is what I'm doing keeping us locked in a bit of a vicious cycle here? And if so, what am I going to do differently? What am I going to do about this? Now, if you want to come to The One, would love to work with you. You'll get a huge shift in an area where if this is an issue for you, then this is something that's available for you to have a big shift in and then really be approaching things differently afterwards. Now, if this isn't something you're dealing with, there'll be lots of other shifts, right? We're dealing with leadership capacity across multiple domains. But like, I really invite you to have an honest look for yourself and your life. And, you know, what's possible beyond this is really exciting. You know, we don't have to be looking at people through the eyes of that they're not capable. We can be looking at our friends and our family and our colleagues as that they're capable and they're able and that they're leadership waiting to happen. And we can look at ourselves as people who are worthy of spaciousness and operating at our fullest capacity and able to also thrive within ourselves. I think that's a big piece that isn't available when we're constantly experiencing life as something that we're constantly having to feel very burdened by. You know, what's possible instead is really feeling like we're at our fullest capacity and actually being at our fullest capacity. And, you know, how we talked about a vicious cycle before? Well, the positive cycle is instead in the opposite direction, is that the more spacious we feel, the more space we have to pull bigger levers, which means that we get then bigger results, which then that in itself is very reinforcing of how important it is to keep operating at bigger, bigger levels and keep pulling bigger levers. Does that make sense? So I guess while we talked about, hey, this is a dynamic of the vicious cycle, well, equally, once we interrupt it, and we send ourselves in a new direction with a new way of observing ourselves and others and a new way of interacting with ourselves and others in our environment, then new results are possible. And those new results become also very compounding over time. So it's like, that's the good and the exciting news here, is that there's so much available for each of us beyond that. All right, hope you found this useful. Oh, by the way, episode 20 as a reminder, loving someone while not getting tangled in their struggle. And then also episode 15, which is not being available to other people's urgencies. Take care. Thanks for listening to the podcast. This is a reminder that if you're in Australia or New Zealand and you haven't yet got your tickets to The One, then go to the website now, find the location closest to you and get it sorted. Early bird tickets will be ending soon.
Man, massive breakthroughs, like unbelievable.
Having the balls to actually be myself and not run away from challenges that I've probably run away from in the past and take them head on.
It's taken me to another place. Yeah. I'm just not the same person that I was when I walked in.
If you get an opportunity to experience this event, do it for you and everyone around you.